Jesus has, as we begin reading here, this is the last chapter of the last gospel that we have in the New Testament. Jesus has gone to the cross. He has been crucified on our behalf. He has been in the tomb 3 days. He has been resurrected. He has already appeared to the disciples and to others. And we pick it up in verse 1 of chapter 21. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, which is also the Sea of Galilee, another name they refer to it. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved, which, by the way, we believe that to be John, whose gospel we're reading, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. Now this was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Speak in power and authority and transform us. In Jesus' name, amen. Every time, I played this about 7 years ago, but every time I read that scripture, I can't help but think of this scene from this movie. Go ahead, guys.
Try out my sea legs.
Well, you ain't got no legs, Lieutenant Dane.
Yes, I know that. You wrote me a letter, you idiot. Well, well, Captain Forrest Gump, I had to see this for myself. And I told you if you were ever a shrimp boat captain, that I'd be your first mate. Well, here I am. I am a man of my word.
Okay.
Yeah, but don't you be thinking that I'm going to be calling you sir.
No, sir. My boat.
Can't you just see Simon Peterson? That's my boat. Maybe not. But did you see the excitement in Forrest Gump's face when he saw Lieutenant Dan? Can't you just see? I mean, Peter. And we know the story, all that had happened with Peter, how he had denied that he knew the Lord, and yet he was so thrilled to see him that he just, it's kind of like he lost his head and he just jumped out of the boat into the water. And notice in the scripture that when the boat finally arrived, when the other disciples got the boat to shore, he had to go back on the boat to help them haul in the fish. I can just see the excitement. We continue our sermon series that I started last week, Tell the Story. And we talked last week about how that as disciples, as apostles of Jesus Christ, he has called us to tell the story. Tell the story of what he has done for us. I want you to look at your bulletin. If you were here last week, we unveiled this new look on the front of the logo, front of the bulletin with the logo there. I want you to look at the words, Wiley United Methodist Church. We'll look at the words down below there. If you want to see what I believe God's heart is for us as Wiley United Methodist Church members, that's it. Love God, love people, offer them Christ. There's lots of ways to say it, but I believe that sums it up, at least for me, what I believe God is calling us, not just as Wiley United Methodist Church, but as His people, to love Him, to love people, and to offer them Christ. Sums it up very well. Today we are going to be looking at this first part of this, love God. Tell the story, and how do we tell the story? It begins with loving God. This scene that we read from today, this John 21 scene. Did you know that it's real? It really happened. There really is. Some of y'all raise your hand if you went on the Israel trip last year. A few of you are here that went. We actually got to go out on a boat on the Sea of Galilee. How cool is that? And we actually, you know, I had to keep Alan wanted to try to walk on the water, but I wouldn't let him. I didn't want to have to pull the guy back in. But we actually got to see the Sea of Galilee, and it's actually a lake. It's not really a sea, it's a lake, but it's known as the Sea of Galilee or the Sea of Tiberias. And we actually went to, I've got some slides I want to show you. We actually went to everywhere where something supposedly happened, where tradition has it, where this happened, they built a church over there in Israel. And this particular site where they believe Jesus had breakfast with the disciples on the shore, that is a statue in this garden area where this church is. And it's got, as you can see, it's a statue of Jesus. And that's Peter down below where he's restoring Peter after they have breakfast and he asks him the three questions. Go ahead and go to the next slide. That's the little church that they've erected over this rock that they believe to be his. The tradition says that, and it may not be, we don't know, but tradition for hundreds of years has said this is the rock where they had breakfast, and they built this church on top of this rock. And I think the next slide actually shows the inside of the church, and there's the rock. And they There's a sign there in front that you may or may not be able to read, but it says Mensa Christi, and that means Christ's table. So they believe that that was the actual stone where Jesus cooked the fish and served the disciples that morning. When you go over there and you actually see these sites and you see that there really is a Sea of Galilee and you see these things, you begin, it kind of brings the scripture to life. It's like, this really happened. They really were fishing and they really came to the shore and they saw Jesus and he tells them to cast their nets over on the other side and all of these things happen. He has breakfast with them. We have a story to tell, church. If you're in Christ, you have a story to tell. Did you know that? I want us to really to look again a little closer at this scripture. And there's three points that I want us to really look at. As we try to become the church completely, the church God has called us to do, and I want to tell you, I think we're a great church. I am thrilled to death with our church. But I don't even think we've even begun to tap all that God has called us to be. Do you? Do you think we're there? You think we've arrived? I think we're a great church with great people, and great servants' hearts and all of those things, but God has more. He always has more for us. He's always deepening us. And he always wants his kingdom to come through us. He wants us to tell the story. I believe as we look at how to do that, it all starts here. Number one, it all begins with loving God. Did you know that if you're not in love with God, you cannot be an effective disciple? You cannot share something you don't have. If somebody comes to me and says, hey, I need $100,000, well, guess what? If they're asking me, they're out of luck because I don't have $100,000 to share. We cannot give something we don't already have. We cannot tell someone how God loves them unless we understand that God loves us. Do we understand that? It all begins with loving God. Now, Jesus said here, he says to Peter that morning for breakfast, he says, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Now, I think I said this a couple of years ago. If you were here, you may remember me saying this, but it really struck me back then, and it struck me again as I was preparing for today. He didn't say, do you love my sheep? Hello. Am I the only hard-headed one that never has gotten that? Yeah, that sounded hollow, didn't it? kind of bounced around and echoed in there a little bit. He didn't say, do you love my sheep? And that's one of the primary mistakes, and I know this is going to sound harsh, but I'm just going to say it anyway. I see it in the church. I see it within Christians that we make the mistake that we think it's about loving people. That's where it starts. That's where it ends. That's the end-all, the do-all is to love people. If we don't love God and we don't understand that he loves us and we don't understand that we're to share that first, then let me tell you, feeding the hungry is virtually worthless. You can fill their stomach, and guess what? Tomorrow they'll be hungry again. No, we help by feeding the hungry because we want them to know that God loves them. We want to live that out, not because that is the end all and the do all is to make sure they have a good meal today. I want them to know God thinks they are awesome, that they are precious in his sight. Red or yellow or black and white, they are precious in his sight. That's what I want them to know. Do we know that? Jesus said, do you love me? So I want to ask us, is if Jesus were asking that today, do you love me? Let's hold off on the second half of that question. He first asked, do you love me? Do we love him? Wiley United Methodist Church, do we love him? I mean, really? Is that the fuel behind everything we do? Is we had several men and women, I will say, came up here yesterday and was taking out walls for our children so our children wouldn't have a room big enough to have room to do what they need to do because our children's ministry is growing. What a great problem to have. And we had six, eight people come to do that yesterday. Were we just knocking out walls? Or was it, we love Jesus? And I'm going to go do that for a few hours on Saturday morning. Now, I'm not shaming you if you weren't here. I'm just saying, is everything that we do because we love Him? Or do we see it as, okay. Is that, I mean, I've been there. No offense, but every once in a while, it's like, you know, you might get a call 10, 11 o'clock at night needing to go to the ER, and your preacher's confessing. Every once in a while, it's like, oh. I'm tired. What motivates us? Do you love me, Jesus says? Feed my sheep. Now, we have to understand what, I tell you, when things changed for me was not when I figured out how much I loved Jesus. Stay with me. Let me do that again. I got everybody's attention. It wasn't when I figured out how much I loved Jesus that things changed for me. It was when I figured out how much He loved me. That's when things changed. And so, when He asked Peter that question, do you love me? Do you think Peter knew that Jesus loved him? I mean, Jesus had every right to go, Peter, you're out of here. When I needed you most, you denied you even knew me. You're out. But it says in the Word that the resurrected Christ, when He appeared the first time to the disciples, here was the first thing He said to them, peace be with you. That's what He said to Peter. He didn't scold him. He said, peace be with you. Man, do you know that He loves you? Because that's going to fuel the love you have back to Him. That's when things change. Even we look at the greatest commandment that in Mark 12 where the ruler came and he asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? And even Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. It all starts with loving God, and that begins when we understand how much He loves us. Cannot stress that enough. Church, if we want to be who God has called us to be, we got to be a church that loves God, and we got to be a church that understands how deeply His love is for us. Because see, if it says in 1 Corinthians, if we speak in tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am a resounding gong, I'm a clanging cymbal. If we go out and we build houses for the needy like we've done, if we feed the hungry, if we paint fingernails at the nursing home, if we do effective ministry and VBS and all of these things that we do, and if that's all we do is stuff, we're just a resounding gong. That's all we are. We must love God first, and we must love neighbors as ourself, or we're just noisemakers. Second thing, when we love God, Jesus greets us with mercy. You know, that just like I just said with Peter, you know, Jesus knew what Peter was going to do. He says it, and I've given you some scriptures there. You can read those on your own time. But I've given you the scripture that's where Peter, but Jesus says to Peter, you're going to deny that you know me three times before the cock crows. It's going to happen. And Peter, what's Peter say? No, even if I have to die for you, I will die for you. And all the others said the same. All the disciples are right in there chiming in there. And here's what I love this. This is before Jesus went to the cross. He said to him, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen the brothers. He knew that Peter was going to fail him. He knew that he was going to deny him in his greatest moment of need. But he also knew that was going to be part of what shaped Peter into the effective disciple he became. You see, God uses our crud in our life. And we heard two testimonies here last week. If you missed it, get the DVD or the CD and listen to it. We heard two testimonies where God uses the crud in our life to mold us, to shape us, to form us into the people He's called us to be so that we can be even more effective as His people. Third thing I want us to look at. When we do these things, when we love God first, when we understand that His mercy is forming us, when we listen to Jesus, the results are full nets. Hello. If we're fishing and the nets are empty, a red flag should go up and say, I think you guys are serving in your own strength. These disciples were doing it on their own. They'd been trained as fishermen. They were probably some of the best fishermen in that region. They had fished that lake many times, but they were coming up empty. It says they fished all through the night. The nets were empty. I didn't show it, but another clip from Forrest Gump when he's first getting into the shrimping business. He said, I only caught five. And the dude that's there, the shrimper guy, you know, he goes, if you had two more, you could have a cocktail. You know? And that's I can see Jesus saying that. You've been fishing all night? And you got two little perch. That's it? Try the other side of the boat. Try over here. Do this. When we listen to Jesus, when we operate in the power of the Holy Spirit, we'll be fruitful. Lives will begin. I see it happening in our church. I see lives being transformed. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Church, I just want to tell you that I love this church. I absolutely love Wiley Methodist Church. And it's not the building I love. It's you guys. But there is such a yearning in me for us to be all that God has called us to be. And we've been on that journey. We're still on that journey. And I'm having to learn so much and to change so much about the way I operate. And I'm trying. And I sense that many of you are trying to come along with me. Christ, we haven't even tapped into what Christ wants for us. Do you want to come along on that journey? I mean, I just pray that a passion wells up in us, not to do church and not to build membership, but to be the body of Christ without regards if it ever benefits our church in one way. I mean, I get people that call me that are couples that are struggling, that need someone to talk to. They don't go to our church. They'll never go to our church, and I tell them, come on. I mean, if I can somehow be the body of Christ to this couple and help to piece a marriage back together and to help to get them back on the path that Christ would have them to be on as a couple. It doesn't matter if it benefits Wiley Methodist Church. Do we have, and I fall short in so many ways, but do we have that kind of heart, church? Do we have that kind of heart that we love God so much, we just want people to know that He loves them? And it's not about our church, and it's not about making me look good or us look good, or it's not about filling this sanctuary. It's not about any of that stuff. The full nets will come. But the first thing that the disciples had to do is they had to trust and to listen and say, we've been fishing all night. And it was so easy for them to say, hey, you're not even a fisherman, Jesus. We're trained in this. You need to listen to us. Did we ever do that? But he said, cast your nets on that side of the boat. And they did it. And they had a full catch. Is that our heart? Do we have a story to tell? Has Jesus changed our life? Do we love Him for it? I mean, like I said, for me, it all goes back to that moment when I realized that there I am, this wretched man, deserving of His wrath, but instead I got His mercy. And it changed everything for me. Do we love Him for that? Has that happened in our life? Do we love Him for it? Are we listening to where He's telling us to throw our nets? Because some of you, you have workplaces, you have neighbors that Jesus is saying, cast your net right there. Cast your net in that office. You know, that neighbor that's not very nice. Cast your net. Let them know that Jesus loves them. Let them know that you love them. We watched in our parenting class last Wednesday night. I know this is not about parenting, but the truth is still the truth. And he said that we are called as God's people to be salt and light to others. And he said, you can't be salt and light if you don't like people. If we don't even like people, how can we be salt and light? We must love God, and He will give us a heart to love His people. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for the challenge You give us this morning. And the question You ask us, do You love me? I thank You for that challenging question. Do You love me? Father, it starts right there. Give us a love for You so deep that overcomes anything else in our life. Father, we confess to You and we ask Your forgiveness for the idols we place above You in our life. Help us love You deeply as You love us deeply. In Jesus' name, amen. If you stand as we close today, if you would like to come and pray, I'll be here to pray. Our prayer team, if you are around, raise your hand and kind of make your way to the back walls, if you would. Our prayer team, they have the blue tags on. If you'll make your way and be available, if anybody would like to pray with one of them, I know that they would love to do that as we close.
Over the mountains and the sea, Your river runs with love for me, and I will open up my heart and let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth, and I will daily lift my hand. I will always sing of when Your love came down. I could sing of Your
to hear this benediction from the Lord, and he asks that question to each of us. Do you love me? Do you love me?
Amen.
Feed his sheep. Go and feed. In the name of Jesus, amen. We are dismissed.
Over the mountains and the sea.